On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, we talk about the only female to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, and just how many Americans believe in ghosts.
Boo. 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 My ghost is bad.
I'm used to you booing me for being terrible. I'm used to those things. But first, don't forget to pick up the We Don't Know Either book. It's available on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble's, at your local bookstore, wherever books are sold.
Yeah.
Make sure you get it. And the best part, you don't have to listen to us. Enjoy the show, everybody.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 319 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Carson.
Carson, our host extraordinaire, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Last week we had Nat Geo Explorer Dr. Jonathan Colby on. He's a frog expert. So Nick and I want to know, what are you an expert in? What do you really bring to this table?
I am an expert in Billboard facts. So if you want to know.
Billboard, like the music Billboard?
Yes, like the Billboard charts.
Advertising billboard sales. Yeah.
No, Billboard facts. So just random things like.
Yeah, although that's how the Billboard got its start.
That is true.
Was advertising sales.
That is,
and
but
actual,
you know,
billboards.
You want to know the number one song in 1990? It's Wilson Phillips' "Hold On." If you want to know who was the youngest woman to have a number one hit, that's Little Peggy March. Just like weird, you know.
Yeah, you've asked Billboard related facts on the podcast.
Yes, because that's my knowledge. So
very cool. You were telling us that there was something really special too about Wilson Phillips being on the number one.
Yeah, so it's weird because "Hold On" was number one for only 1 week in 1990. But it ended up being the number one song of the year. And that's only happened twice where a song has been number one for 1 week but still been the biggest song of the year.
What was the other one?
Oh. Now you're running on the spot. The other one is from the 60s, and it was like a weird – it's a weird one from the 60s that I can't – I'm blanking right now. But we'll Google it. We'll
figure
it
out.
No, I'm just impressed at all, really, honestly. I know that song from Bridesmaids and didn't know that it was a number one hit.
Yeah,
so
they had three number one hits back in the day, so 90 and 91. Release Me and You're in Love.
Oh, all right. Very cool. And music is not my specialty because I just listen to Taylor Swift on a repeat.
Well, then we might be in trouble because I have a music fact today.
You always have a music fact. I purposely didn't bring a music fact because I knew you would be bringing a music fact. But I do want to remind everybody that taxes are due April 15th. So
yeah,
next Monday.
Next week. Yeah. Well, it depends on when you're listening to this. But yeah, a week away from published date.
A week away from published date for sure.
Gross.
But I learned that astronauts still have to get their taxes in by April 15th.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I would argue space would be a fair excuse.
All right.
But the U.S. tax code is like, nope, that's still considered the United States, so get your taxes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No breaks.
Yeah.
No breaks. Astronauts have forgotten before, so there's official NASA transcripts of them asking, like, hey, what do I do here? And then they have accountants on the ground that help the astronauts get all their taxes in order.
There was a fun story about when the first astronauts came back and they landed, they asked them for their passports because they were coming in from a different place, getting back into the country. I'm pretty sure it was either a urban legend or a joke that they were playing on the astronauts. That'd be pretty funny. It's like, sir, do you have your passport? No. Well, I'm sorry, you can't come back onto the planet.
You have to go back to the moon.
Back to where you came from.
Well, at least those astronauts will have spacesuits that fit them, am I right? Okay, anyway, I didn't have a way to turn that into a fact. I just thought it was super interesting because I feel like being in space would be a legitimate excuse, but it's not.
Yeah, so. There are no legitimate excuses. Yeah, there are plans in place for the IRS and what happens after a nuclear disaster and how do they continue collecting taxes post-apocalypse.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, the more you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick, do you want to kick us off?
I can. So I knew Carson was coming on, so my interesting fact is music adjacent.
Music adjacent. Okay, well, I'm going to see you later. I'm out.
All right, so Carly Simon.
Yes.
You know who Carly Simon is?
Gotta love Carly Simon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
Okay. Carly Simon is the daughter of a very, very successful businessman.
Mm.
And famous. You have absolutely heard of this company. What company did he found?
I know the answer. So
great, cool. I'm having fun. I don't even know. I don't know anything about Carly Simon except that I have heard of her. And
well, you know what her name is.
Great.
She thinks you're so vain, if that helps.
Yeah. No. I've seen the Matthew McConaughey What's Her Face movie.
Uh-huh.
I know. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
The '90s class. Oh, How to Lose a
Guy.
Yeah.
Is Princess Banana Hammock. What's up, Holla? Okay.
Holla.
I have no idea. I don't know anything about anything. And I feel like even more of an idiot than when I said to before this episode, well, I don't really want to do the game show today because I don't want to feel like an idiot. So it worked out this
sorry.
Way. No, it's cool. Give me a hint.
The guy's last name is Simon. The company is named after him.
Well, then I don't know.
Okay.
I still don't know.
Carson?
It's a publishing company, right? It's like Simon and...
Simon and Garfunkel?
No, it's not. They're not. That's different Simon.
Yeah,
that's
Paul Simon. Different
that's
Simon.
Paul Simon.
Oh, Paul Simon.
No, it's...
Okay.
Yeah, I forget. It's a publishing company, and it's like Simon and like Schuler or what's...
Simon and Schuster.
Schuster.
Yeah. That's absolutely it. So he started the publishing company Simon and Schuster, and then his daughter went into mild... to massive music success.
Well, she started out with their sister Lucy and with the Simon Sisters in the 60s and then broke out. Her first hit was That's the Way I've Always Heard It Should Be, which number 10 on the charts back in, I think, 70, 71.
See, he is a Billboard expert.
Whoa.
only had one number one hit with You're So Vain, but got to number two with Nobody Does It Better from the James Bond movie The Spy Who Loved Me, and that's a weird because most James Bond theme songs are just called whatever the movie is.
Right.
And while she references it, there's a lyric in there that says about The Spy Who Loved Me, it's called Nobody Does It Better. And so people always forget the name of that because they're like, the Bond song that I don't know the name of
I
it.
I can't remember the name of it.
Because it's not actually called what the movie is.
Right.
So,
Do you know who You're So Vain is about? Wasn't that auctioned off at one point, like the identity of the person?
I mean, there's been a lot of discussions. Yes, it has been auctioned off. She's got clues like there's an E in their name. Well, most people have an E in their
name. Yeah, it's the most common letter.
The latest I've read is that it's actually about multiple people.
Okay.
And one of the verses is about Warren Beatty.
Okay.
And
I always heard Mick Jagger.
Right. I mean, she, you know, had a fling with Mick Jagger for a bit. So
right.
Why not?
She ruled him out in her memoir. She ruled out Mick Jagger in her
memoir. Oh, she did? Okay.
Boys in the Trees is the name of her memoir.
Which is also the her album, too.
Oh, cool. But yeah, she admitted last year, Warren Beatty. So,
Fun fact, too, is that some person over in England found a demo tape of her and Mick Jagger. Like, they were in studio, and she was playing the piano, and they were just kind of trying something out. And they were in studio working on this, and the demo got lost because I don't want people to walk in studio. Paul McCartney walked in, and then they had to go talk to him and kind of got lost. And someone was, like, going through their attic, and they found it. And it was a long-lost demo on a cassette tape and, like, played it and realized what it was. And she'd sent an interview. She's like, I remember doing this, but I can't tell you where it is or anything about it.
Right.
It's lost for eternity. And someone finally, like,
I've got
this years later over in England. And hopefully they'll release it, you know, so we could hear it.
But that'd be amazing.
Could you imagine some intern at the recording thing was like, oh, go clean out the closet. And they're like, oh, fine, I'll listen to these things, see if they're valuable.
Right.
And then, hey, boss, you got to come listen to this. Boss,
yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know if I have time for this. And
unreleased.
This is the gold.
Right.
Wow. That's super cool. I love finding those hidden things. It's like the Antique Roadshow, and they come in with a picture of just that looks crappy, and then they turn it around,
and it's the
menu.
Oh, this is a Picasso, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Picasso or the menu from the night the Titanic sank.
Right,
yeah, whatever.
Just something crazy.
I love hidden treasures. They're so fun.
And that's cool. And that's the reason my wife has for never cleaning out our house in any way. It's because, you know, we may be throwing away something valuable.
You never know.
Actually had her grandmother passed away a number of years ago, and the family was, like, giving away stuff to whoever wanted it before they auctioned off the rest of it and whatever else. And there were these two, like, really Art Deco-y kind of chairs. And Sarah goes, I like the chairs. Can we get them? Like, they're like the cup chairs with the wing.
Ooh, those are
like,
fancy.
Top, and they
fancy.
Spun. Yeah, they're like these big, like, 1970s chairs. And she goes, they're kind of cool. And they said, we could have them. Do you want them? Like, they're going to sit in our basement. Like, we're never going to ever do anything with them. Like, we could restore them, but we have nowhere to put them. So if you want them, we can take them. But honestly, what are we going to do with them? So we said, nah, don't worry about it. And then they brought in the auction people to evaluate everything. And apparently they are, like, custom handmade, like, 1972, like, really famous furniture designer, like, one of a kind kind of thing. They're worth $20,000 a piece.
What?
So, and that's one of those things. But if we had taken them, they'd still be sitting in my basement.
And
we'd have no idea what they were.
Yeah,
but
hidden value.
They ended up selling for like $22,000 a piece.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
For a chair.
For a chair.
Oh, man. Someone give me $20,000 to spend on a chair.
Right.
Actually, don't. I would use it on a vacation. Cool. That's
be
a
hell
fact.
Of a vacation.
That it would be.
Yeah. Okay. So, Carson, I feel like his is music adjacent. That should be a very easy segue to what I'm assuming is a music fact.
It is. So my fact is, who is the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice?
Okay, I'm confused. Isn't this, you get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and then you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Why are you getting inducted twice?
So some people can get inducted twice. For instance, like Paul McCartney got inducted as the Beatles.
As a Beatle.
And then also got inducted as solo artist.
Right.
And so.
And the Wings?
Not for Wings.
Not for Wings. So there's been several men that have been inducted twice. All the Beatles have. Eric Clapton has.
Right.
But there's never been a woman until recently. So.
Was it this year she was inducted individually, I assume? Or was it like in the last 5 years or 10 years?
Well, I don't. If I tell you what year, I don't know if
they're
going to win.
Okay, they won't because I don't know who. But okay. I mean, generally I have a consensus of who's gotten in, but not specific years.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, don't give it to me because if you do, I will likely be able to pull it.
Right, so that's what it's getting at. The first woman to be inducted twice.
Okay, so I'm assuming this solo and then a band career. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
But the other thing I should, mention too, is you can get inducted for other, like you could get inducted
producing.
For songwriting or, some other, there are some other categories that could get you inducted.
I'm
as
assuming
well.
Producing, that's very important.
Right, that's very important.
Or edit, I'm sure there's probably editing, right? And editors.
Probably, but probably not very often.
Yeah.
You got to be really good.
Right.
Yeah. The first thing that immediately comes to mind would be Cyndi Lauper. I don't know if she's been inducted as an individual artist and then as a songwriter, because I know she's done a ton of songwriting work over the years.
So Cyndi Lauper is not it.
Not it. Is she in either time? Do you know?
I don't even feel that she's been inducted at all.
Yeah. I mean, that's very reasonable. I'm just trying to come up with people. Oh, I think I got it. Lindsay, you want to give a guess before I give my second one?
Ooh, Janis Joplin.
No, but that's actually a good idea because Big Brother and Holding Company was her band, and then she was also...
Yeah, it was a good guess.
Yes,
that's
it was a good guess. And
that's right.
Was solo when she did the Pearl album, which her last album before
she passed
away.
But that's still wrong. Good guess, but wrong.
Good guess, but wrong.
I tried. So the list of women who were in bands and then have had solo careers afterwards...
Or before, right?
Yeah, it could.
Technically, I guess, but it's almost never that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's usually part of a band. The band becomes famous. This would be the Beyonce effect, I would assume. So, like, Destiny's Child would be in, and then Beyonce would be in individually, although I don't believe either one of them have
Neither of them
yet.
Are in, but...
Can I have a guess?
Yes.
I don't know if this is right, obviously.
Okay.
Well, that's why it's a guess.
We don't know either, so...
Yeah.
We don't know either. And I don't know what the... Like, how long it takes you to get in, right? You know.
Right.
They're not inducting somebody that's just having their first number one hit now,
correct.
Right?
Taylor Swift's not in yet. Beyonce's not in yet.
Right, yeah.
Yet.
Does Beyonce go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? She's not doing
yes.
a lot of rock.
No.
Or is it just, it's music?
It's pretty much the music Hall of Fame
at this point. Because
yeah.
This year they inducted Janet Jackson, who had a big impact on music, but she's had a couple rock songs, not really a full-on rock and roll artist.
Right.
So.
Right. Why wouldn't they expand it? More people are interested. More people come to your museums. More money for you. I get
right.
I get the business model. My guess is going to be a recent-ish artist.
Okay.
And I want to say Gwen Stefani and No Doubt.
That's exactly the kind of scenario where this would happen.
But I don't know if that's too recent because she's still in the pop culture thing. She's hosting
absolutely.
Whatever that show
so,
is you watch.
Yeah.
No, it's not Gwen Stefani.
Dang it.
But that is a good guess. I don't think that she is I believe it's 20. It's either 20 or 25 years after your first album came out.
Before
you.
Oh,
eligible.
Okay.
So,
well, then I would have changed my answer.
Yeah.
I
so No Doubt could be inducted, but as a solo artist, that's where
it's getting really. I mean, she's probably 20, 21 or 22 or 23.
Yeah, it's
years
getting there. But
artist.
As a solo artist, it's dicey. But No Doubt could definitely be inducted.
yeah.
They qualify.
So my second guess, which I would assume it's as far as I'm concerned, it's the best guess of the lot so far.
Okay. Okay. You don't have to poo-poo on my
guess. I'm not. I had previous guesses as well.
She has good guesses. I will, I'll give her that.
Wow. Holla Back Girl was 2004. Time flies.
Right.
Yeah. Was that her first solo song?
I don't know.
Well, the first...
I'm Just
the
a
first
Girl.
The first single from the Love Angel Music Baby album, I think, was Rich Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Featuring Eve.
Right.
But before that, she did sing guest on the Eve song Let Me Blow Your Mind from 2001.
Right.
So.
Right. So my guess would be Stevie Nicks
Ding, ding, ding. We have
a
winner.
That's
the one that, like, obviously Fleetwood Mac is in, 100%.
Right.
And then Stevie Nicks has been around long enough and is revered enough that she could do it on her own.
So Fleetwood Mac got inducted in 98, and Stevie Nicks got inducted last Friday.
Oh, so it was recent.
Yes,
okay.
So.
Yeah, that would not have helped because I...
Well, I didn't know that out because they did it last Friday. They inducted her. But it is interesting that it, with so many other men doing double like that, that
right.
it took this long for
to
that.
To get a woman in, yeah.
To get a woman in twice. Especially, you know, there's a whole list of people that could have possibly... But the one that really I thought was interesting was Carole King is in there for songwriting.
Okay.
But not as a singer. Not as a
singer.
Mm. And Tapestry was like one of the... you know, biggest albums for a female of all time kind of deal. And interesting that she didn't make it in there twice. So it took this long for finally for Stevie Nicks to get in there. And on the whole, there aren't as many women in the Rock and Roll of Fame as men. Because Janet Jackson, her speech made a big deal about that. It was like, induct more women.
Right.
But yeah, that's.
So three of the four Beatles, Jimmy Page.
Wait, three out of the four Beatles?
Yeah, I'll give you one guess as to which one's not in there twice. Oh, no, I'm wrong. All four of the Beatles.
Four, because I'm looking at Billboard right now. 22 men have been inducted twice.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of men.
That's a great fill in the blank ground.
It absolutely is. But yeah, Eric Clapton, David Crosby, Peter Gabriel, Michael Jackson, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Jimmy Page.
Just keep listing off the answers to our future bonus.
If you listen to the podcast, you get the benefit. Paul Simon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Is in there twice.
Not related to Carly Simon that
right.
we know of.
Right. I'm actually a little shocked that Rod Stewart's in there twice.
Well, because the Faces and then...
Yeah.
And then Solo.
No, it was Solo and then the Faces.
Hmm. Well, yeah, that because the I feel like his solo career was bigger here in the States than...
Right, than the other one.
Cool.
And in case you're wondering, Aretha Franklin was the first woman to be inducted in 87.
I did know that right. one.
But on the whole, you know, Carole King got in there just as a songwriter. The first female group was the Supremes in 88. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they also the other category is early influence. There's like a, if you're like way older, like from the 30s, they have a special category for that. If you're like a, from that time. But yeah.
Right.
The first Billboard top or the first Billboard chart was 1946, right? It was like late or like
58.
Mid to late first.
The first number one single was 1958's Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool.
Oh, all right. Well, why would I try to say a fact when I have a Billboard expert here?
So all four of the Beatles are in, both as members of the Beatles and as individuals. What is the only other band that has every member in as an individual?
Ooh, this is a great bonus fact.
Yeah.
So I'm going to... I want to say Led Zeppelin.
It is... Well, I mean, it wouldn't be every member of Led Zeppelin.
Wait, well... Wait, so it's every member of the band is in a solo and...
Yes.
Okay. Because you were saying
I just read off most of the list.
Right.
I don't know anything. I don't know either. So this is all on Carson.
I'm still liking Led Zeppelin.
Jimmy Page is in
right and
both times.
I feel like
Robert Plant is not in as an individual.
Oh,
so that I can see on this list. It's not much of a list.
Tell us.
It is Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And technically, Neil Young is in as an individual
right.
and as a member of Buffalo Springfield, but
not as
Crosby,
Stills,
Nash,
and
Young.
Young.
Yeah.
Super interesting. Cool. Well
there
done, guys.
Yeah.
But now I want to participate. So you guys were talking about music. People write a lot about their emotions when it comes to music. And a big emotion that a lot of people have is fear. And I don't know if that's expressed in a lot of songs. I feel like sadness is kind of the main emotion, but sometimes fear, you know, you're scared to really venture out into your own. I don't know.
There's a lot of death metal.
There's a lot of death metal. But my fact,
I mean, there was that band Tears for Fears.
So. Yeah.
My fact is about fears. So every year Chapman University comes out with the survey of what Americans fear the most. This year, 74% said corrupt government officials was the number one
okay.
fear.
Well done. Well
so
done.
I'm not going to ask about what those specific ones are. But I am going to ask you about people's beliefs in paranormal activity and the paranormal.
Okay.
So my question to you, what percentage of Americans believe that places can be haunted by spirits? So what percentage of Americans believe places can be haunted by spirits?
So essentially, what percentage of Americans believe in ghosts?
Sure.
For the most
part. I mean, I don't know the difference between ghosts and spirits, but, you know.
Well, Lindsay, it's obvious. I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you were gonna make a pun there, and I got really excited.
I just thought you had a number. It's like, well, it's obviously 38. Like, just came out with some number out of the blue, but.
Yeah, and this is the most paranormal, like, of all of the other paranormal things, like aliens, Bigfoot, moving objects with your mind, et cetera. The belief in spirits is the most prevalent paranormal belief in the country.
Okay.
So what do you think? Is it a majority? Is it not a majority? Is it?
I'm gonna say it's just under a majority.
Okay.
Like the there's a line in the newsroom. Do you ever watch the newsroom?
I do not.
Okay. There's a line in the newsroom. It's like the United States leads in three categories, and one of the three is number one in only three categories in the world, and one of them is percentage of the population that believes in angels. Mm. So I think that this is going to be like a similar thing where it's super high, but not quite half.
I gotcha. Okay. So what's your guess?
40%.
40%, Carson.
Yeah, I can see that too, because there's all those TV shows about like paranormal hunters and on the Travel Channel and stuff.
Yeah, Finding Bigfoot.
Right, and they're fascinating. I think it's a little less though. So if you said 40, then I'll go with 39.
Okay.
Well, no, you don't want to do that. That's terrible Price is Right rules.
Yeah, you're not.
You
want to
go 41. Because that gives you 41 and up.
That's, well, okay, fine. I'll say 41.
Okay. Oh.
Carson, sorry. That if you were on Price is Right, we would definitely have made fun of you. But the good news, you took our advice and you were more correct. So congratulations. So 58%. So it's well over half. Americans believe that places can be haunted by spirits. Just behind them, less 1%, 57%, ancient advanced civilizations such as Atlantis existed. Okay. Followed by that, aliens exist.
Sure.
Specifically, aliens have visited Earth in our ancient past. So
yeah,
how many people believe in ancient aliens?
Ancient aliens.
Well, that's what it says. The quote is,
Atlantis was founded by aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens visited Earth in our ancient past. What is that percentage of Americans that believe aliens have visited Earth in our ancient past?
Okay, so we know that 58% of people believe
in ghosts. Yeah.
And that's the most paranormal, so it's less than
58%. Right, so it has to be less than 58.
And she just did the 57 on the other thing. So this is like 55 to 56, right? Just going down her list, playing game theory here.
I mean...
Maybe.
Yeah, I feel like that even... Yeah, I'll go with 54.
54? Okay, still above half?
I'm going to go $1.
1%. Okay, yeah. So in this case, Nick, you would be the winner.
Yeah.
41% of aliens have visited Earth in ancient past, or not 41%.
41% of people believe that.
Yeah. Sorry, I cannot confirm or deny those things. 35% believe aliens have come to Earth in modern times, so it drops off pretty significantly. Some people can move objects with their minds. 26% of Americans believe this. This is a survey from across the country. Bigfoot is a real creature.
Sure.
21%. And then lowest on the paranormal list, fortune tellers and psychics can foresee the future. Only 17%.
Right. That's still higher than it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's my last question to you as we conclude. How many have no paranormal beliefs whatsoever? So what percentage of Americans have no paranormal beliefs according to the Chapman University Fear Survey?
Okay. Based on the categories that you have, because I mean, this is one thing that I was very happy you clarified before was believe in aliens. Aliens 100% exist. There is essentially an infinite number of stars and planets and everything else out there. There are aliens on other planets that are alive. Whether or not they're anywhere near us or can contact us or we will ever see them ever, that's up for debate. But they definitely exist, right?
Sure. Sure. I mean, we can have a whole podcast about aliens and existence and, you know.
I'm sure there are a number of them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's whole... expos and conventions about it too, but I'm talking about percentage of Americans that do not believe in paranormal phenomena at all. So
I'm gonna say it's real low. I'm gonna say it's like 4 or 5%.
Okay,
but then I'm wondering, so if we know that 58% do believe, and if four, then what's the input?
58% believe in
spirits. Haunting, yes.
So that would leave 42% that don't believe in spirits but could believe in other things. So it's less than 42%.
Right. Okay.
Correct. It is less than 42%.
Working the math.
What number did you say again?
I said like 4%.
4%. Carson, your answer, lock it in.
I will go with, I'll go with 5%.
5%, okay. Carson, you winning?
Carson, lock it in, I think, is your secret phrase.
Oh, yeah. Carson, lock it in.
Pop,
Carson,
lock, and drop it.
Yeah, Carson, lock it in. Carson, lock it in. That's your secret phrase. Make sure you write it on your answer sheet. You're going to get 5 bonus points for that. And if you don't play trivia, find a bar so you can do that and you can get the bonus points.
Yeah.
So the answer is 24%.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah, I thought that was...
That is way higher than I would think.
Me too. Me too. And that's why I thought that that was a bonus interesting fact. So yeah,
20%. Pretty cool.
Do you believe in paranormal activity? Are you part of the Proud 22?
Oh, well, I have a little... debate going on in a big group chat about, you know, whether or not ghosts exist. Uh-huh. And we're going to have a scrimmage with the Boo crew, Team Ghosts versus the non-Boo crew. So I've just been asking everybody.
Are you on Team Ghosts?
But are you a member of the
Boo
crew?
Yeah, I don't think that it's something I want to risk saying no to, if I'm being honest. And also, I've seen a ghost before, so that also.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so that's great. I'm glad that we're recording this and putting this out in the public.
They made that whole documentary about it. Ghostbusters?
Yeah, that is true to my life.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to go ghost hunting. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Carson.
And we don't know either.
Bye.